Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we investigate the book of 2 Timothy and discover powerful truths about mentorship from a father-to-son perspective. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's podcast. I am joined again by my son, Caleb, and we are flying along here in the book of 2 Timothy. I say that sarcastically because we're at the middle of verse 3. I did notice, though, Caleb, as we're starting today's podcast, that you have a Paul's Leather Bible and you have a large cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And I have a Paul's Leather Bible and a large cup of Dunkin' Donuts
coffee.
This
mentorship is flourishing.
It's flourishing. Yeah, I have an iPhone. You have an iPhone. I'm wearing a pair of jeans. You're wearing a pair of jeans. I have a beard. You have a beard. I mean, come on.
Two eyes.
Okay, all right. What? You're mocking me.
Yeah.
2 Timothy chapter 1. Why don't you bring us up to speed, Caleb? Read for us, if you would, verses 3 and 4.
Yeah, so the Bible says in verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy.
So we've been talking, my friends, about mentorship principles. We mentioned that it's important for mentors to know who they are. Paul knew who he was in Christ. It's important that mentorship is relational. First, we speak the truth in love. It's important that mentors have a sincere desire for the people they're mentoring to be the recipients of God's blessings, the things that only God can do. And then I think last episode, Caleb, we talked about just the importance of having a pure conscience, being real.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not real, you're never going to be able to affect that person the way that you want them to be affected for the kingdom of God. It's just what you say is always going to be taken with a grain of salt. They're always going to be skeptical. But if they know that you care and that you're real, it just allows you as a vessel to allow the word of God to penetrate their hearts and affect them.
I think a key to mentorship and discipleship is the end of verse 3, where the Apostle Paul said, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So let's face it, Paul made a commitment to earnestly and consistently pray for Timothy.
Yeah, and it's the thing about in your life right now, who are those people that you consistently pray for every day? And I think a lot of us would say our family, as we should, but, you know, is there a Timothy in our life? Who is that disciple? Who is that mentee that you are praying for every day? And here we see Paul says night and day, so without ceasing. You know, it's just and what he means by that is just he's constantly on his heart. He's always thinking about Timothy. I could just see Paul as he sits there and he writes, as he, you know, probably sings to God and prays to God. It just, God is constantly, he says, I thank God that you're constantly on my heart because I love you and I care about you.
Yeah, I think that's a great application. I think as well, the Apostle Paul had a formal time of prayer every morning and every evening. Mm. And so at that time of regular prayer, his secret place, Timothy was a subject of his prayer every time he prayed, every night, every morning. And I love what you said a moment ago, and that is that, you know, we need to all have that Timothy, somebody whom we're mentoring. And a good way to maybe assess that is ask yourself the question, outside of your immediate family, who is that person for whom you're praying every single day? Who is that person? Because you can't be a mentor without being committed to pray.
Right. Yeah. And just on Timothy's side, imagine him reading this as Paul is his hero in the faith, his spiritual father. And just to hear from him, hey, I pray for you every day. And I mean that. what an encouragement to Timothy. As Timothy opens this letter, as we'll see in verse 4, you know, the emotional connection that they had just with how much he loved him. But seeing the one of those first words he sees, hey, I'm praying for you. I mean that. I love you. I think about you often. And just the effect that that would have on him receiving his words and his instruction in the next few verses, I think goes a long way.
You can't mentor everybody. God never intended for you to do that. Jesus didn't. Jesus often sought to get away from the crowd. Mm-hmm. Why? Because his investments were in a few people so right. that through that multiplication, he could affect many, many other people. And that's the way God works in our lives today. There are a few people in your life in whom you make huge investments. And I think one of the hugest parts of, I don't know if that's a word, of that investment, is that prayer. Peter said, Jesus rather said to Peter, Simon, Satan hath desire to have you. And you in the Old English is always plural. So yeah. He talked about the disciples. Mm-hmm. Satan wants to have you disciples that he may sift you, separate you. He wants to pick you off one by one. But I have prayed for thee, and thee is singular. Jesus said, Peter, I'm praying for you. Individually.
Wow.
I wonder what that meant to Peter, and I wonder how big that was in him coming back to Jesus after that denial.
That's so powerful, and it's the most powerful thing we can do this side of heaven is to pray for people. Prayer is something that I think is lost in a lot of Christianity today, and we can't understate the importance of praying for the person that you are meaning to disciple.
You won't remember this because you were just a baby, but back in Connecticut years ago, in the little church that we started in Enfield, Foundation Baptist Church, we had a missionary come through whose name was Brother Vic. Never forget it. He was a Filipino national guy, and the guy was just over the top excited. He was like, my name is Brother Vic, you know, and he came in that night. There might have been 12 people in the service on a Sunday night. And he preached like Billy Sunday. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And just really effervescent. And we took a love offering for him. We couldn't take them on for support. We just didn't have it.
Yeah.
But years later, I was in my office in Pennsylvania, and I received a phone call, and the secretary, Stacy, beeped me through the intercom.
Yep.
If you're under 30 and don't know what an intercom is, look it up in the history books. But anyway, she beeped me, and she said, there's somebody on the phone. So I picked up the phone. You know, this is Pastor Skelly. How can I help you? And immediately I knew who it was because he said, hello, Brother Skelly. This is Brother Vic. I thought, oh, man. So he said to me, how is Wanda? And I said, well, Wanda's doing great, Brother Vic. Appreciate you asking. Mm. And how is Nathaniel? I said, well, Nathaniel's doing wonderful. Nathaniel's our oldest son. And what about Joshua? How is Joshua doing? I said, well, man, Joshua's growing like a weed, Brother Vic. And Caleb, how is... At that point, I was like, Brother Vic, you have an amazing memory. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, oh, no, Brother Skelly, I don't have a good memory at all. But I pray for you and your family every single day.
Hmm. Wow.
And that just rang my bell.
Right. I mean, just what an encouragement. And obviously, he had to be praying for you every day. That's before social media. That's before all those things. The only way he could have known is if he had an interest in you. And he had interest in our family. And just as Timothy looks at that and say, wow, he is so interested, so invested, so determined to see God's richest blessings on my life that he prays for me every single day.
So I think here's a key thought, and that is when it comes to mentorship, pray for people and then tell them that you're praying for them. I think that's important.
Right.
I think we make the mistake in one of two ways. Sometimes we tell people that we're going to pray for them, but we don't.
Yeah, praying for you.
And we don't.
Yeah.
And we've all been guilty of that. Or here's another mistake. we pray for people, but we don't tell them that we're praying for them. Mm. And I think that's important too, because yeah. that's an encouragement.
That's good. Yeah. And it's kind of contrary to what some of us might think that we need to do. Some of us say, oh, we just need to tell everybody we're praying for them. And like you said, it leads to either unsaid prayers or insincere prayers. But when you actually are praying for another person, what is the purpose of it? The purpose that you're praying for that person is to see them go on for Christ, is to see them live for Him. And what a great avenue for them to continue to serve God by knowing that there are those in their own time that are praying for their success.
Remember, my friends, we're in a very short period of time, we're going to get to the verse where the Apostle Paul is having to, in a way, rebuke Timothy. But before he rebukes Timothy, he's saying things like, I love you, I want God's best for you, I'm praying for you. Mm-hmm. So we have to put it in perspective, don't we?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And so there's no way that Timothy can look at that and what he's going to get on to him about. He can't look at that and just say, well, you don't know what you're talking about, or you don't really care about me. No, this is something that if anybody had the right to say something to Timothy, it was Paul.
Right. So you referenced verse 4 a moment ago, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. So one thing that is abundantly clear in verse 4 is that these men loved each other. They loved being with each other, and they hated being apart.
Right. Yeah. It just shows that bond that they had. And there's something to be said about discipleship. It's not just a chore. It's like you said before in the previous podcast is reviewing, it's relational. And if you're going to produce change in somebody through God's word, you're going to have to put in the time. And that's really where the connection came, because he spent all this time with him. Timothy was on some of Paul's missionary journeys. He was somebody that he had written to previously. And so over time, that emotional, that connection that they had grew and grew to a point where they hated being apart. And it just goes to show the strength of the discipleship that they had.
Again, it speaks to the fact that discipleship is not an appointment we make, but it's an affection we have in our heart.
Yep.
And Paul is saying, Timothy, I want to remind you that I love you and I love being with you and I hate when we're apart, and I know that you feel the same way.
Yeah.
So again, relational, good thoughts. Look at verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So as the Apostle Paul talks about the relational aspect of ministry, he introduces some other relationships that that Timothy had that were equally as effective in bringing Timothy along. But we're not going to talk about them this episode because we're already out of time.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. But Caleb, I did want to read verse 5, because in that way we can tell people we got through verse 5.
I like the thinking.
Okay, my friends. Hey, have a great day today. Thanks for joining us. I hope to see you again tomorrow. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.